Good Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Children grew up there, here spearing fish there. They have a reef right at this public access that they're talking about. My children, my sons, are probably some of the best surfers on the Gulf Coast. And they have personally been harassed. They'd be skimboarding there in the wet sand, have been harassed and given a hard time.
I think that there are tons of people out there that are concerned about this subject. It's obscene to go out there and be told that you can't stand on the beach. The land has it's always been public access. There was never a problem, and I don't think you'll run into a problem now. And I think if anyone that votes to keep the folks off the beach, I think you'll probably going to suffer come the next election, because there's an awful lot of people concerned about this.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of people who are concerned about customary use on Perdido Key and, you know, trying to preserve or reestablish access to the sandy beaches. We've talked about this many times before, that, you know, the people who have what they believe is property down to the, you know, waterline, sometimes they get aggressive in how they enforce it or try to enforce it. And, you know, we've had this conversation about the 75-foot easement on certain parts of Perdido Key. People who want to go use the beach believe that they are entitled to use the beach and they want to use it. It's a very different situation from on Pensacola Beach, where the county has it all. And so you can walk up and down it all you like. Or, you know, even Johnson Beach, where it's all owned by the, you know, the feds, Gulf Islands National Seashore. Perdido Key is different. And so you have this, you know, ongoing conversation about what to do. Charles Krupnik from the Perdido Key Associates, he says...
The Perdido Key Association Board of Directors opposes customary use on Perdido Key private beaches and hopes the concerns of our beachfront private property owners will be well considered in any upcoming discussions.
Yeah, so this was at the Thursday evening meeting where Steve Stroberger said something that, I mean, I was kind of surprised by the sternness of this expression.
I don't think everybody understands what a steep hill customary use is going to be. It can't be, you know, we're going to talk about it in February. There's not going to be an ordinance passed. It can't be passed with an ordinance, right?
Well, that's actually not the clip I was thinking of. But yeah, it is a steep hill to climb. You do have to prove historical record. Allison Rogers, who is now retiring a year from now, she's a county attorney.
If the board wants to declare customary use over a certain geography, it needs to be done by ordinance. We certainly are
right.
Not to the point as a board where you're going to be voting on one.
Yeah, we need to go through a process to get there. But this was the part that I was kind of surprised that Steve took really strong stand on.
I'll tell you that I would love to die on this hill, because I respect property rights too, as much as I respect public access to the beach. And so we'll talk about this, and I'm ready to talk about it now, but we'll wait till February.
Wow. I mean, just in terms of a political issue, there are more people voting who want to go to the beach that somebody else owns than there are people who own the beach. So... which does not make it right to side with them. But I'm not sure that tone is going to work so well with the population. But that's the issue, right? Some people believe, possibly do, have control of the sand behind them that they bought. And they don't want strangers on it. Just like you don't want people, you know, parking their lawn chair on your lawn and having lunch. They don't want people on their beach that they own. There's people all over this area who own beaches that are not contested. I think of Gulf Breeze as a real easy example, but lots of people own, you know, if you go boating anywhere around here, you see lots of signs up, don't go on my dock, don't go on my land. I mean, why? Because you can't just go on people's property. You can own beach, or you can have publicly owned beach, or you can have privately owned beach with a weird thing called access, which allows you to go on the beach that somebody else owns from customary use. And that's been kind of the debate here. And look, both sides have merit. I mean, people who have grown up being able to, feeling like they were able to, and practicing the ability to go on, you know, beaches, you understand why they don't want to lose that access. People who bought a beach thinking that they were entitled to it, you understand why they don't want to let other people on their beach. I get both sides. There's truth on both sides here. We'll come back to this in a second. It's a really interesting problem because there is no, like, you know, you're going to have to cut the baby in half. There's no, like, solution. You know, the Solomon reference, right? You know, the two women are arguing over whose child it is.
Oh, okay.
John, you're
like
a Bible guy and you look confused.
I just, yeah, boy.
Anyway, I mean, we could just, I guess we could destroy the beaches and then nobody'd have them. I'm joking. Not going to happen. Anyway, don't say that. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Just one accident on the big board right now on Pensacola Boulevard, Highway 29 and Broad Street. I'm seeing no delays associated with it, but I just wanted you to be aware. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. So there were interesting moments in this conversation, including, I mean, I don't know this woman's name. They never did say her name. She had said she wasn't going to speak, but had one of the, I thought, the oddest comment, honestly, of the day.
What's really confusing about this is that Governor DeSantis has already done all the research. He would not have signed this if it was going to cause us a lot of problem. That was the whole idea of his amendment and his law, was so that we wouldn't have to have all these lawsuits in for individual properties. That was the whole idea of it. And if you'll read it, I know I read it extensively, and I think that it's the right thing to do.
What she's getting at is that the law DeSantis signed gave counties the ability to declare customary use in certain areas. And what she's saying is, well, DeSantis wouldn't assign that law if he didn't know what he was doing, hadn't done all the research on all the implications for every piece of property in Florida, which is, I mean, the more you say it that way, the less sound it sounds.
I mean, he's already done all the research for you. I mean, just go along with our governor.
He hasn't done all the research. Customary use, you still have to prove customary use.
Yeah, there's a 0% chance that the governor's office did all the research in order to establish which parts of which beaches should be or should not be allowed customary access to.
And from what I've done, my research, it has to be all the way, it could be as far back to statehood of Florida, or at least when those parcels were divided up. We have to prove customary use. And I don't think there can be any break in any use. It's got to be continuous.
Like chain of custody.
So it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to do.
But why would he do that? I mean, he would not.
I don't know why he would do that. Why would he say no more property taxes?
He's done the research.
He has not.
He's not going to take a chance on this and make a bill that doesn't stand. I wouldn't think so.
Like property taxes?
I mean, I trust him, and I know that he would not do that. So I'm thinking, you guys, really, it's an easy vote. Support him. He's our governor.
What?
I mean, you know, I'm just trying to be logical.
Okay, I don't know who this woman is. She seems delightful. I'm sure, you know, I love that people come and participate, but, well, the governor doesn't make mistakes, and that settles it, right? I mean, I'm pretty sure that doesn't actually settle it. So the question had actually come up in the Committee of the Whole meeting earlier that day where they were talking about, do we have a Committee of the Whole on this? Do we bring it as a voting item? The problem with Committee of the Whole is the public doesn't get input. Okay, the problem with all doing it at a voting meeting is going to be long, and then you don't usually have presentations, but how to structure all of that. But Allison Rogers, I know David played some of the audio from Allison. Allison did a really good job of explaining the history of how we got here and what's really at stake in all this.
I think the reason that this is, in the last 6 months or so, become such a big issue is that, you know, based on Governor DeSantis's initiative, the statutory presumption regarding customary use has now been amended back to its pre-2018 in favor of the public. The statutory presumption for about 7 or 8 years was changed, and it was swayed in favor of the private owners. It's now statutorily the presumption is back in favor of the public.
But you still have to go through a process to establish it legally.
But still, if there is to be a declaration of customary use in favor of the public, my opinion is this board would need to declare that and would have to declare exactly the geographical area that you're declaring that over by ordinance. And that would need a vote of this board for sure. And it needs to be based on the historical, factual, evidentiary record of customary recreational use by the public, which is your old-fashioned, old-school things like photographs of people in the old-fashioned bathing suits from 1903.
Like proving that there is a long-standing practice of using this beach by the public is the way you're going to establish that customary use is a justified declaration for any particular area of Perdido Key.
It's probably also things where your environmental department can show where public resources were used to protect certain beach properties.
Because once the county's spending money or there's public money being spent on it, it starts to transition from being a purely private to being kind of a shared ownership. That's why if you do renourishment on the beach, you can then grant access on it because it's no longer a private only, right?
BP oil spill, hurricanes, berms, I mean, all these kinds of things factually with witnesses, with documentary evidence, not just, well, you know, I always used to go out there. It needs to be very specific evidentiary record.
So finding that's going to be a little challenging as Loom and May, Commissioner for District 3, raises, obviously, whatever we decide, there's going to be litigation, you would imagine.
You anticipate that it'll probably end up in litigation no matter what decision. I mean, Allison's nodding yes.
I think that it is highly likely. We were challenged over the easement, and the easement appeared on a plat. So, I mean, I would anticipate that private property owners, and you really should have some basis for your legislative findings of the area that you're defining. So we do need to have some reasons why we're declaring that there is and there was a historic recreational use of the properties. But, yeah, I mean, I would anticipate that some of those folks are very unhappy about the idea.
I mean, we get sued over the stuff that's easy, let alone the stuff that's more complicated. Mike Kohler.
When you say geographical area, are you saying if we decided to do customary use at some extent, we would have to go plat by plat in that definition?
No, forget the plats. The plat issue is related to the 75-foot wide easement, which is across 1.2 miles of the Gulf Front of Perdido Key. That was involved in litigation last year. So far to date, I mean, those lawsuits were dismissed. The county, in my opinion, successfully was able to demonstrate that the plats do memorialize that 75-foot wide easement. In my opinion, it exists today. It's enforceable today. So that 1.2 miles of Perdido Key does have a 75-foot wide easement that is open to the public. So that's a different issue that exists, that is there.
Yeah, that's now. And again, this is why some portions of the key are going to be different from other portions, because those areas, that's already settled, that's already in practice. Well, is the signage reflective of that? Well, I mean, that's one of the challenges. Do the police, the sheriffs who are out there enforcing, do they know this? Do the owners know this? Well, that's the challenge. Does the public know, hey, this is a green zone? No, this is a red zone. You know, where can I go on the beach? Is it all the same? No, it's not all the same. That's the problem.
If the county commission makes legislative findings by ordinance that there is a historic, recreational, customary use of certain parcels of the sandy strip of the beach, regardless of 75 feet, that's not the issue. The issue is basically between your vegetative line and your mean high water line, mm-hmm. The sandy strip of the beach, was it recreationally used historically by the public? You need to declare what that area is and declare by ordinance that there is a historic customary use that shall remain in place in favor of the public. The change in the law statutorily helps you because now it has swayed back in favor of that public customary use, but it still might have to be demonstrated in court if it's challenged by the private owners who are unhappy potentially about it.
With your decision. Yeah, I mean, I think that's all correct. So they started off saying they were going to have a committee of the whole and then probably have an actual discussion in a regular agenda. My suggestion would be to solve the problem of not taking up time in a regular meeting. This is going to be a big item. And also getting public input into the meeting, which clearly a lot of people, they're sending tons of emails all the time, and clearly the speakers show this. I think we should do a special meeting. I think, you know, Ashley Hoffberger can set a special meeting. You could have it just be devoted to this issue. Public input, you could have staff presentations. Then you could have a discussion and a vote by the board. You could solve it all in one meeting all on its own, I think. Also, and I don't know what the rules are for the commission, but I would think maybe the way to do this, instead of everybody who wants to speak gets to speak, you could do it as a, hey, we're going to have 30 minutes for each side like you might do in Congress, or an hour for each side like you might do on, you know, the floor of the House of Representatives or something like that. That may not be allowed under Florida law or under the rules of the board, but it would kind of make sense if you could do it that way, because then you could really have the best pro-con, and then you wouldn't necessarily be limited to 2 minutes or 3 minutes or whatever. You know, you could have real fleshing out of the issues with charts and diagrams and explanations and testimony or whatever. Somebody texted in and says, we lived here a long time. When my parents lived on the beach 45 years ago, they didn't feel like they owned the entire beach behind them. They considered it to be public shared. And I'm sure that's true. In fact, the issue here, of course, is some people who own the property, even down to the water, still felt like, yeah, I own it, but people can use it. Customary use was the practice. Other people feel like, no, I bought it and I own it and I control it. It's my yard. I mean, it has sand on it, but it's my yard. And just like you don't want people traipsing through your yard, I don't want people in my yard, creating clutter, mess, noise, interfering with my view, you know, all the things. And then, of course, you have members of the public who have never owned or don't own, and they believe they're entitled to go on that sand because they are to some degree, and they want more. Or they want what has historically been considered theirs, and it's an entitlement. They feel entitled to it, and they feel like it's a loss if it goes away. It's understandable why everybody feels the way they feel about this. It really is. It's just like, if there was some neighborhood around a place that everybody had been using as a park, you know, and they like that park and they go there and they walk their dogs, and then it suddenly turns out that, you know, actually the park isn't owned by the city or the county, but it's actually owned by the homeowners, and they want to close the park to other people because it's actually a part of their lot, even though everybody's been using it as a park for a long time. Well, who's right? Yes. I mean, everybody's got claims, and because of the change in the law, that's why we are where we are. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now, but if you're on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 through that construction zone, experiencing about a 10-minute delay, and Highway 29 southbound just south of 9 Mile Road all the way down to I-10, experiencing a 15-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Are you rushing to an appointment? Have you been late for an appointment? Hebrews 9:27 says, "It is appointed unto man once to die." Unless Christ returns in our lifetime, we all have an appointment with death that none of us will be late for. Possibly the most remarkable thing about Jesus Christ is that he conquered death. He died, but 3 days later, up from the grave, he arose. It is because of his sinless life, substitutionary death, and resurrection from the grave that he now offers sinners like me and you eternal life in heaven with him. I urge you, don't delay. Confess your sin to him and call upon Christ today so that you are prepared for this appointment.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Hey, Kevin, how's the boat running?
Well, you know, last week I started working on the water pump, and now I can't remember how it goes back together.
Dude, stop. Call Key Marine. They'll get you and your Mercury outboard back in the water so we can go back to fishing again.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. They'll fix any problem, big or small, even if the problem is you don't remember how the parts go back together. Key Marine, your Mercury outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, and the News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Oh, that was way harsh, Ty.
Good morning, 729 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. One of the reasons I like to play sound clips, you might have never thought about this, but I get the best comments that people have made and then play them for you like an interview and put it all together with the evidence back and forth so you can really get a, you know, condensed version of the discussion. And honestly, Allison was doing such a good job explaining it that I just wanted to let her explain it because I thought she did such a great job. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Good morning, gentlemen. After a weekend of protests over the deadly ICE shooting in Minneapolis, Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem says hundreds of more federal agents are now being sent to Minnesota. Those additional officers will be deployed to make sure the other ICE and Border Patrol officers are able to carry out their operations safely. Appearing on CNN, she also accused Minnesota Governor Tim Walz and Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey of inflaming the situation.
Yeah, as I talked about on Friday, I think both sides have said some exaggerated things, but which is unfortunate because I think the case is actually relatively clear.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. President Trump says Iran wants to talk.
A meeting is being set up. Iran called. They want to negotiate.
But is it too late?
The Wall Street Journal is reporting the president is going to get briefed tomorrow on potential responses to Iran, including more sanctions, cyber attacks, and even military strikes.
White House correspondent Aisha Hosni. DHS Secretary Kristi Noem spells out the next step for her agency in Minneapolis on Fox's Sunday Morning Futures.
We're sending more officers.
Fox's Matt Finn is there.
DHS sources tell us up to 1,000 additional federal officers could surge Minneapolis here. That's on top of the already 2,000 agents on the ground.
This follows the protests after the ICE-involved shooting of Renee Good. Thousands of nurses and three hospital systems in New York City walk off the job this morning. Talks this weekend did not break their contract dispute. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. It's 35 degrees right now. We've got partly cloudy skies in Pensacola. Our full forecast with Brooke Richardson is on the way in just a few minutes. An Escambia Sheriff's Office investigation has determined there was no foul play in the death of a man found back in December in a wooded area near Jim Allen Elementary School. The 56-year-old died from an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound. He'd been reported missing weeks prior to being found from the area of Olive Road and Cody Lane. His body was found off Eden Lane and Highway 95A across the railroad tracks from the school. The investigation was conducted by the Sheriff's Office and the District 1 Medical Examiner's Office. A 21-year-old man is dead after a shooting in Milton on Saturday. That happened on Galahad Trail about 3 o'clock that morning. Deputies say 22-year-old Cameron Keyes had a firearm that discharged and struck Tyler James Appleby, who was pronounced dead at the scene. Keyes was arrested. He's being held on a manslaughter charge without bond in the Santa Rosa County Jail. The Major Crimes Unit is investigating that case. Well, the manager of a Dollar General in Century was sentenced on grand theft charges. Officials say Casey Lee Rice failed to turn in store deposits that totaled almost $8,000 back in October. Dollar General Loss Prevention reported the missing deposits of $5,500 and $2,500 were recovered from her purse. Rice reportedly admitted to taking the money in a written statement and pleaded no contest. The judge withheld education and sentenced Rice to probation plus court costs and restitution. Rice told deputies she was struggling financially because of a vehicle breakdown. Governor Ron DeSantis thinks the state's attempt to redraw its congressional maps could lead to years of litigation. He was on Fox News last night to discuss that redistricting effort. He said he expects the legislature would pass a new map in late April and then he'll sign it immediately. He said he anticipates legal challenges that could drag on into 2028, but he doesn't expect the courts to strike down the map before the election this November. Well, lifeguards are credited with helping a paraglider in distress in Palm Beach County. A paraglider reportedly fell about 500 feet into the ocean on Friday in Riviera Beach. Palm Beach County officials, including lifeguard Sarah Williamson, saw that as it was happening. She radioed for backup and sprang into action. She and another lifeguard swam to that paraglider. A snorkeler went underwater to free him from the lines. Williamson said the snorkeler was a godsend. The paraglider suffered minor injuries. Williamson said that falling 500 feet is an incredible thing to survive. The University of West Florida has named its new chief of police. Roman Jackson will be the new chief, replacing Mark Kosich. Jackson brings over 20 years of experience. He previously served with the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office and is also a decorated Purple Heart recipient and FBI National Academy graduate. 7:35 at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. Still rolling accident-free right now, but if you're on I-10 between Pine Forest, 9 Mile and all the way through Highway 29 exit, let's see here, you're going to experience about a 12-minute delay. Highway 90 southbound coming into Pensacola, it's about 5-minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thank you very much, John. And it is 35 and partly cloudy right now. Let's get a check on our forecast with Brooke Richardson.
We are going to be looking at some very cold weather as we go through your day today. We are starting off with temperatures in the 30s, highs today in the low 50s. As we head overnight tonight, temperatures expected to drop close to freezing again. As you head into Tuesday, mostly sunny skies, high near 59. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping into the 40s. We'll be looking slightly warmer on Wednesday with a 20% chance of rain, high near 62, but temperatures back on the Thursday by Wednesday night. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 35 and partly cloudy. Your next news in 30 minutes. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Daniel will not stop crying. I've changed him, fed him, walked him around, and he's still crying. Now I'm panicking. What should I do?
It's okay. We're glad you called. We learned during the Period of Purple Crying program that babies tend to cry a lot in the first few months of life.
If nothing is working and you need a break, put the baby in a safe place and take a few minutes to walk away and calm down.
During the Period of Purple Crying, it is crucial to stay calm and never shake a baby. To learn more, visit PreventChildAbuseFL.org.
This message is sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida, the State of Florida, Department of Health, and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
You know, well, I'm a chicken fried, a cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and the radio.
You know, every time I play that song, well, John plays that song, technically. And I think you picked that song, too, didn't you, for Jimmy?
I did.
That song puts you in a certain mood. And honestly, it's a very Jimmy Patronus mood. It's a perfect song for Jimmy Patronus. I hope he likes it. Jimmy, welcome back to the show, sir. Good to have you, Congressman.
Yeah, that's the only song y'all ever played when I've come on the air. So, yeah, it's good stuff.
It's perfect. It's a happy song. It's a good song. It's a, you know, I'm gonna give you a compliment that I suppose some people might not think is a compliment, but in all the times that you and I have talked, to me, Jimmy Patronus is a regular person. He's a normal dude. He's got family. He's got struggles. He's got questions. He's got jokes. He's got things he doesn't know and things that he does know. He doesn't pretend to be something that he isn't, as far as I can tell. And so that song to me is like, it represents you. You know, you get every weekend, you try to come home from not being in D.C., and that makes sense to me. And when you're in D.C., you're living, you're telling me you're living in a mansion in D.C., right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, about 600 square feet basement apartment. So I walked down a flight of stairs down this, it's almost like a ditch, but it's home. So
down a ditch into your basement one bedroom apartment with 600 square feet and a washer and a dryer. And it's, you know, it's funny because, you know, when congressmen are here in district, we always celebrate you and, you know, notice you and recognize you. And in D.C., you're like, ah, the peons, you know, these representatives, they're everywhere like vermin. It's just, it's so funny, the differences. So I love that. There's so much going on in the world. I want to get to as much of it as we can. The things that aren't as much in the headlines, though, you continue to work on this tech stuff and keeping social media safe for kids. And In your own office, you know, you have a lot of young people. I met some of them the other day. You have a lot of young people working for you, which that can create some tension between the dad who sees this issue from the safety of the kids' point of view and the young people who see this from the I want to be able to do what I want to do on social media point of view, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think there's it's very important when you're a policymaker, at least in my opinion, and I know we've got all types of ages and generations we represent. Right. I think it's important you've got kids. If you're going to put your name on the ballot, you think about the decisions you're making in a whole different way because how it's impacting others. And look, I don't like the idea of creating a nanny state in our country, but I do think that big tech, AI, has got to be a little more. They don't self-govern, and if you don't, you know, threaten them at least with putting legislation in play, they'll just continue doing what they're doing. And, you know, this is what I think, you know, Trump's been very good at. Trump doesn't write a law for every single thing he wants to accomplish. But he'll go out there and he'll voice his opinion through Truth or through X. And it's amazing how we have a correction in some of the policies that some of these entities are doing. And you're making some of these changes without writing a new law. You know, just saying, hey, you're just calling out somebody for bad behavior. So, and we were talking a little bit earlier about Section 230. I mean, more and more, I'd like to see a repeal of it. And 230 just gives protections to the social media companies to just allow the type of, you know, wild, wild west to exist that ultimately just leads to bad outcomes.
You know, it strikes me suddenly, and I've not thought about this comparison before, but Section 230 creates a kind of protection around social media companies that immunizes them. This is just the basics of it. Immunizes them from litigation for content on their platforms. But what it winds up doing is it winds up giving them the kind of power to do anything they want, like railroads have, you know, just this unlimited, unfettered, you know, you control it. There's nothing we can do. And you're this behemoth and, you know, we have no control. But it's even worse than that. It'd be like if the railroads could just drive their trains down the street and hit cars and you couldn't do anything to stop them is kind of what it feels like to me. It's railroad power and authority and control with even greater danger. I mean, that's kind of how I think of what Section 230 does for the social media companies.
Sure. I mean, it really gives them a bulletproof vest.
Yeah.
And I would really like to, like I said, I can't go on your radio or I can't go in town and buy a billboard that says, you know, paint every, you know, car red or attack every, you know, building that has this particular, you can't sell me an ad like that because you're liable. The billboard companies can't sell me ads that would invoke harm or violence because they would be held liable. But the social media companies can have these posts all over their platform and there's nothing that we can do about it. And I think that creates an environment where we're encouraging and allowing some bad behavior to start to develop. I just, you know, and you threaten it, maybe these guys, but, you know, it's like the other day, Instagram saying, you know what, tell Congress to pass the Whatcha-Whatcha-Call-It Act because it'll protect kids under the age of 13. It's like what I told you the other day, there's nothing that keeps Meta from not doing this right now.
Right.
Why do we need a new law for us to force Meta to do something that they're advocating for? Well, probably because they want to make sure their competition has to do the same thing.
Well, and of course, it's even worse than what they'll say is, well, it's impossible to police everybody very effectively. And I mean, there's some truth in that. Part of the answer to that is, well, then maybe the thing itself is a problem. But not only is it difficult to police, they actively push content, right? The algorithm deliberately funnels to you things that are radicalizing, 100%. Reinforcing, harmful. And so this, oh, well, it's not my fault. Well, yeah, but you use the algorithm, which itself is a content moderator. That's why you become more like a publisher and less like a billboard and, you know, all of these wrangles that we've been having at the Supreme Court. So I'm not very sympathetic to them. Go ahead.
No, and it's just like we talked earlier. They purposely make their devices sticky.
Sure.
You know, they just purposely, they know, especially if you've gone and you've decided you want to renovate your bathroom and you've clicked on one reel regarding, well, then you know what? Your reel is, your whole feed is full of bathroom renovations.
Right.
I mean, and it's
for a year.
the sophistication. Yeah, and there's no different than the sophistication of what our kids' Christmas card lists look like now, what they want for Christmas. I mean, there's specific model numbers to devices, baseball gloves, cologne, you name it. It's just all because this is the new G.I. Joe TV ad that we see on Saturday mornings.
You know, it is funny. Just a small note is I know when my 19-year-old has been looking at exercise equipment on his computer because I get the ads in my social media, or he's looking at cologne, so I get the ads, and it cracks me up so much how in some ways dumb the algorithm is. Anyway, we're talking to Jimmy Patronis, our congressman for Florida District 1. Hang on for just a second, Jimmy. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
We've got one accident on the books right now on Mobile Highway between Massachusetts Avenue and Fairfield Drive. The roadway is blocked in that part, so just be aware of that. I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29, about a 12-minute delay, and also Highway 90 southbound coming into Pensacola, about an 18-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Jimmy Patronis. Okay, let's start with Venezuela, because that's kind of came first chronologically. Mm-hmm. The Senate voted 52-47 to advance a war powers resolution to, basically require that the president come to Congress before he take military action. My expectation is that if the House even votes on it, the House would vote no. But you tell me, what's going on in the House with regards to this?
Yeah, we've got the minibus, so we have three appropriations bills that we're going to pass out this week. And I don't know if we'll see that as a part of the voting structure. But I was listening to Josh Hawley, and these guys, you know, there's definitely, he voted to clip the President's War Powers Act. But then when he out there and makes a statement about it, he says, yeah, before the president creates a full-scale invasion of Venezuela, we have to approve. Well, no joke. So it's kind of one of these things. These guys, man, they just perpetually love to get their sound bites mm-hmm. out there in front of the national media. They love to become a point of controversy. And, you know, I think, yeah, in an extreme set of circumstances, exactly. But, you know, with what the president pulled off in Venezuela, you know, no loss of U.S. life, got in there and literally captured a world leader and flew him out and brought him to a jail cell in New York City. Don't you know that the technology that was in Venezuela, I'm digressing from your original question, but
that's all right.
You know, the technology in Venezuela, you know, it's Russian, it's Chinese, it's Iranian technology. United States got in and got out, okay? Nobody got killed.
On our side, right.
Got killed.
Most of the people who got killed seem to be Cubans, actually. Yeah, which is proof of the point of foreign influence in Venezuela, whether it's Iran or Russia, China, or Cuba, right? So, yeah.
And all these other countries around the world that have been bad actors are now thinking long and hard about how aggressive do we push our agenda? Do we quit being knuckleheads? So, I mean, I think there were so many things accomplished. And like I said, these senators, they're just sometimes they just can't help themselves. They've got to get some camera time.
Let's talk about Greenland for a second. I'll let you respond to me, because my statement on Greenland has been, if we can negotiate a transfer, if we can purchase it, I am all for it. Not to make it a state, but to acquire the territory because it's useful for interceptors. It's useful for, sea defense. It's useful for all kinds of things. Whether the rare earths ever turn out because they're buried in the freezing, I don't know. But purchase it, great. On the other hand, military action, which the president keeps continuing to refuse to rule out, military action against a NATO ally would be an immediate impeachable offense, in my opinion. Your thoughts?
You got to remember, this guy has made his fortune, all his success, is on his ability to negotiate. And part of the leverage in negotiations is he has got to float that out there as part of what he's willing to go to. I know this: Antarctica has been colonized by the Chinese. The Obama administration says no more, oil exploration in the Antarctic shelf. So now what's happened is that has given free roam to China and all their icebreakers up there. So the president's kind of like,
Wait, Antarctica or Arctic?
We've got to start pushing back.
I'm sorry, just to be clear, the icebreakers are in the Arctic Circle, but the oil exploration is in Antarctica, right? I mean, I'm not sure which one you meant. I just want to be clear, I know what you're talking about.
Antarctica is the top one, correct?
No, the Northern Pole. Antarctica is on the bottom. Antarctica is where there's land underneath. Okay, right, Arctic is just ice. Yeah.
It's the Northern Pole.
Thank you. Okay.
Get the Antarctic versus that. Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Encyclopedia. So it's the Northern Pole. So China has had their presence there. So I mean, the president is definitely got a lot to be concerned. Now, do I think if he can negotiate a deal with the citizens of Greenland to say, all right, you know, I think Denmark spends a whopping $600,000 a year in their role and impact and support of Greenland. Yeah, I think the president will buy it all day long. He's got to just bring that in for a length. I do think the peace of mind that we would have is for national security. We need to control this hemisphere.
But again, I understand that Trump says a lot of extreme things, but it worries me that threatening military action against a NATO ally, let alone against anybody, you know, we're not an empire. You know, it bothers me to have a president even hint at that being an area of possibility. That's horrifying, you know, to me.
I say this is his negotiating tactics that he uses. You know, he has got Denmark who's trying to figure out how to manage what he might do next. And I think he has got to leave everything out there in order to try to get to a point of leverage in the conversation in order to cut a good deal. And I think in the case of what the president has envisioned, a good deal is even purchasing Greenland outright. So we'll see where it goes. But I do think every time he's flexing along these issues, he's keeping Russia and China at bay.
Well, again, acquiring it in the end, I'm all for it. Through purchase, I'm all for it. That'd be fantastic. Switching to a different continent entirely, the protests in Iran, as many as 500 people more than have been killed. We've got several weeks of protesting. Thousands, possibly 10 to 15,000 people have been imprisoned. Again, you know, President Trump is kind of supporting but not really supporting, and we've done this before. We've kind of let the protesters hang out, you know, air out to dry when we did not support them after the last time around. But what do you think happens in Iran, and what should we do, if anything?
You know, the problem with Iran is it's been destabilized. They've shut down their internet. They have shut down their telephones. They at least by the indications of reports of their capturing protesters and doing Lord knows what to them. So
yeah.
So now do we how far do we go into this? We've created some chaos for them, but you know what? Again, they were being knuckleheads. They were continuing to threaten, color outside of the lines, destabilizing the Middle East, and is it now even more destabilized? Maybe. You know, I know the president cares. But I mean, I've got also a lot of concerns right here in our own backyard that I want to be focused on.
No, fair enough. Same. And you know, though I hate the name, the Donroe Doctrine in Central and Southern America. I mean, right. I think we are long overdue for exerting our influence in the Western Hemisphere. Speaking of that, things that are of a concern back here, you toured at least NAS Pensacola and I think maybe some other places, but you tell me if I'm wrong, with the Undersecretary of the Navy, Hung Cao, who was here last week sometime. What did you see? What did you learn? What do they want to do with regard to our facilities here?
So the importance was, I've known Hung now for probably about 15 years. He's been stationed in Northwest Florida a couple times. He's just a great human being. And anyway, he wanted to come down and spend some time at Pensacola, and he had to go to Mobile for commissioning the next day. But, you know, we wanted to show him some of the deficiencies there at Pensacola. And Mama San, you know, and I ran him around and showing him some of the different things and getting things on his dashboard so at least he could see it with his own two eyes. I think it's important. I'm a visual learner. And, you know, yeah. I think when you take the time to go and bring somebody who is in his business and can give them a firsthand account of where you could use some enhancements to your facilities, I think it just helps, you know, the narrative when you do eventually make those things come to come to life.
No, I very much agree. And, you know, seeing growth and, you know, we're trying to, you know, bring the Coast Guard training facility maybe here, you know, that would be the boot camp. That would be fantastic. You know, and as you say, exposure breeds knowledge and familiarity, and it's a thing starts to feel more like a thing that's a part of you as opposed to or an important thing that you care about instead of just a thing you've read about in some briefing. And, you know, all those things, they make little differences, just like the you've said your office in D.C. is, you know, right next to the military offices, and that creates a level of influence, that kind of soft power, even in politics. It's incredibly important for getting your way. Jimmy Patronis, our congressman. Go ahead.
Well, and to that point, so Okaloosa County has been needing their ATONs replaced. Well, I'm next door to the Coast Guard. I mean, I tell you, I'm convinced the only reason why we were able to pull off getting those ATONs replaced is just, you know, constantly knocking on the door next door asking the Coast Guard when are you going to replace them, and they eventually get tired of hearing from you.
Hey, look, nagging works. I mean, it does, you know, and it especially works if they like you and you're nagging. I mean, you know, they kind of want to do something nice for you. So Jimmy Patronis, he is our congressman for Florida District 1. As always, Jimmy, thank you for the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
Have a fantastic week.
See you. You bet. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Brought to you by Barberry Plumbing. When it's time to call a plumber, call the best of the Bay winner, Barberry Plumbing, at 477-8782. A couple of accidents to let you know about. New Warrington Road and West Jackson Street. No roadblock. Just seeing some minor delays associated with that one. And let's see here. Okay, well, they cleaned that one up. All right, so never mind. Highway 90 southbound as you approach Pensacola, experiencing an 18-minute delay, and also I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29 through that construction zone, 12-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Add more road to your trip with the new 2026 Subaru Crosstrek or Forester Hybrid. Our new hybrids will keep you going no matter where the road goes. With up to 597 miles per tank, the Crosstrek Hybrid easily takes you to more places. And the Forester Hybrid sports a driving range of up to 581 miles per tank. Mileage like that lets you journey farther. And combined with Subaru's legendary capability of standard symmetrical all-wheel drive, you'll be able to handle any unexpected conditions and terrain with ease. Paved roads, gravel roads, just about any road, they're all fair game in the new 2026 Subaru Hybrid. Better fuel economy, legendary reliability, you'll find both in the Subaru Crosstrek Hybrid and Subaru Forester Hybrid. Love goes the extra mile at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
It all comes down to this, folks.
Yep, the entire season is on the line. But my throat has officially thrown in the towel.
Sounds like you need Vicks VapoCool drops. They're max strength, hand vaporized sore throat pain.
Whoa! These VapoCool drops hit fast!
Speaking of fast, did you just see that play?
Yeah, he vaporized that ball.
That pun should have come with a penalty.
Vaporize sore throat pain with Vicks VapoCool drops. Use as directed.
VapoCool.
The Hugh Hewitt Show, weekdays 2 till 4, right after Markley Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
I don't care who you are, that's funny right there.
Good morning, 7:58 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Somebody says, you should have pressed him on the point about Greenland and, you know, really forced him to answer. I said, I mean, I think we brought the issue out. You know, you can be a jerk about it or, you know, or you can have a conversation. I just, you know, I feel like the point got made, and that's what I'm always trying to do. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. After a weekend of protests over the deadly ICE shooting in Minneapolis, Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem says hundreds more federal agents are now being sent to Minnesota. Noem says those additional officers will be deployed to make sure that other ICE and Border Patrol officers are able to safely carry out their operations.
I just want to make sure. It's not only me that every time you say her name, I think of little garden implements, right? Like, it's not just me, is it?
No, it's not just you.
Go on, David.
Now it's not.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I can never think of Benjamin Netanyahu. Anyway, go on, David. Gotcha. Go ahead.
Okay. Iran warning President Trump any U.S. attack would lead to Tehran striking both U.S. and Israeli assets in the Middle East. The president has reportedly been floating the idea of U.S. intervention to support the protests, which have reportedly now left hundreds dead.
Yeah, that Iran, they're just super capable of doing everything militarily, and they've been going half speed all this time because they're not really passionate about winning any of their conflicts. Okay. Yeah, threats in reserve. Sure there are.